You've been sad the whole day, and it's not just about me.
I could never hide my feelings from Dad, so I tell him about the conversation with Daniel, my doubts, my fears. I even let a few tears slip. It's dark, and I'm sitting on the opposite side of the table from him. No one can see.
Don't you worry about me. Next time an idiot shows up, I'll hose him. See how he follows me around soaking wet. I was just unprepared this time.
But,
Caroline, you've loved this man for almost 10 years.
I open my mouth, close it again. Can't argue there, and in any case, Dad didn't frame it like a question.
Now you're telling me that you think you're not right for him because, what, your lives are not 100% compatible? Because you think a school teacher isn't glamorous enough for him, good enough for him?
I haven't actually uttered any of those words, but obviously Dad can make more sense of my jumbled words than I can.
Let me tell you something. You're worth everything, and Daniel knows this. And another thing, compatibility is overrated. Your mother and I agreed right out of the gate on maybe 10 things during our entire marriage. Why do you think you kids each have 2 names?
The corners of my mouth twitch. My middle name is Siobhan. Which one was your idea?
Siobhan?
Thank heavens Mom stuck to her guns then. Dad laughs, then goes serious again.
If I said black, she said white. If there was only one option available, she'd make up the second one just so we could disagree about it. And I don't regret any of those moments. She was the love of my life. I'd give a limb to have her back. And if it was the other way around, if it was your mother here in front of you, she'd say the same.
The tears are falling in earnest now, and I'm not even bothering to wipe them away. And Dad isn't done.
Nothing came easy for us. Moving all the way from Ireland, away from our parents, starting a family here with no one to rely on. Every couple has their challenges. Everyone has problems. That's life. One challenge after the next. And the best thing by far is to have someone you can love and trust by your side to take on those challenges.
I wipe my eyes and cheeks dry.
Daniel is a successful man, and success comes with its own set of challenges. As I said, challenges come in many forms. With patience and compromise, you'll get far. You'll both make mistakes, but if you're willing to work on them together, they're halfway solved already.
Wow, I say, finally, moving to Dad's side of the table. I don't hesitate to lean into his open arms.
Still my baby girl, hey?
Yeah.
Sleep on this, baby girl, and tomorrow give him a call. Talk to him. You'd be surprised how everything seems doable once you talk it through.
We make our way back to the house, but once I'm on my own, I dial Daniel's number. I can't afford sleeping on it. Thanks to the time zone difference, he'll be asleep after I wake up, and I want to hear his voice. Talk to him now. Except the call goes directly to voicemail. Maybe he's in a meeting. I pace around the house, go to the kitchen. There is still some chocolate mousse left, and Jenna insisted so much for me to eat it at dinner that she won't mind if I eat it now, right? I need some sustenance. I concentrate on the sweet treat, and after half an hour, dial his number anew, but I get voicemail again. I have a sour taste in my mouth, despite having just swallowed the last of the mousse. Energy strums through me, and I head outside, take a long walk on the property. An hour and a half long. Whatever meeting he's in, there have to be breaks. I try him again to no avail. My heart seems to weigh double as I return to the house and climb into bed. When I talked to him today, I felt him put up some walls of his own. Will I be able to get through them? To reach him? Since I go to bed at 4 o'clock, I wake up feeling hungover the next morning. I might have done a bit of crying in my pillow, too. I'm still clasping my phone. That's how I fell asleep. I look at the screen and my stomach plummets. I have no messages. Nothing. Thank God I took the day off today as well. I wouldn't have the energy to deal with a group of kids. After dressing, I go down to the kitchen, only to find Dad already there and looking much better than I feel. Jenna is trying to feed him the contents of her entire fridge. I smell bacon and eggs, and my stomach rumbles. How I can still be hungry after all the mousse I had last night, I don't know. But hungry I am.
Morning,
Jenna greets. Dad merely waves, chewing on his breakfast. Where are Richard and Summer? I ask.
Summer's at the gallery. Richard is in the gazebo, repairing a loose board.
We make small talk over breakfast, and I do my best to assess Dad's health status without seeming overprotective. He truly does look much better than yesterday. He's no longer pale, and it helps that he isn't wearing the hospital gown anymore. He looks like my strong father again, not the sick man he seemed yesterday. After breakfast, Dad goes out to help Richard, despite mine and Jenna's protests.
I'm not a sick man.
He shuts us down and strolls out of the room. While I help Jenna clean up, my mind races to Daniel. Even if he had back-to-back meetings, he could at least have texted. Now I'm worrying not only that he might have dumped me cold turkey, but that something bad actually happened to him. For the 10th time this morning, I wonder if I should ask Jenna if she heard from him. But I don't want to worry her.
Someone ate up all the chocolate mousse last night,
Jenna comments with a smile. It was hard to resist it, knowing it was in there. Jenna looks straight at me, and I have the distinct impression the woman can read my every thought.
I was going to make apricot jam today,
Jenna says.
Oh, I'd love to help.
Working side by side with Jenna is pure bliss. She radiates calmness, relaxing me, making me feel safe, loved.
It'll pass by quickly,
Jenna says, out of the blue. I snap my head up from the table where I'm slicing apricots.
What? This media attention. The good thing about gossip magazines is that by the time a new day rolls around, no one cares about yesterday's gossip.
I suppose you're right.
This happened to us, too.
Jenna takes the apricots I sliced and pours them into the large pot on the stove. She's now with her back to me, so I can't see her expression.
In the beginning, when Bennett Enterprises was on the rise, getting a lot of media attention, Richard and I had our share of run-ins with over-eager reporters. It wasn't always easy. We weren't used to that kind of life. We had to be careful who we spoke to, what we said.
I strongly suspect Jenna hasn't told this to any of her kids for fear she might sound ungrateful.
But rough patches come and go. Can't all be smooth sailing, can it?
No, it can't. But you've done a brilliant job with all of it, if you don't mind me saying. I join her at the stove and put a hand on her arm. Jenna is right. It's exactly what Dad said, too, and I make up my mind on the spot. I need to see Daniel. Forget calling him. I mean, the man isn't answering anyway, but I want to talk to him face to face. Once I was young and stupid. Let him slip away from me. I'm definitely not that young anymore, and I like to think I got smarter over the years. I will head to Sydney on the next flight. I thought about this the entire morning. What held me back was the fear Daniel wouldn't want me there, and the price of the airfare. Buying a ticket on such short notice comes with an astronomical cost, about a month's worth of rent. It would make a dent in my already depleted savings, but I don't care. It will be worth it. As to Daniel, well, I just won't let him push me away. I allowed it once, won't do so again. There's also the small fact that I'm supposed to be working for the rest of the week. I'm not so sure the principal will be so understanding, no matter how good my cocoa cookies and donuts are. But I just have to take the risk. There's no way around it. I'm all in, and I want Daniel to know this. I've been all in from the beginning, but was afraid to admit it, even to myself. Not anymore. Jenna, do you mind if I leave in about an hour?
Oh, why?
Jenna stops in the act of stirring the pot. I want to fly out to Daniel. The next plane to Sydney leaves in a few hours. Need to go home to get my passport and pack a bag. Jenna chuckles and raises both hands, sending a few drops of marmalade flying around the kitchen.
Ah, I can't let you do that, my child.
I blink.
Why?
Jenna checks the time on the grandfather clock on the wall.
Because Daniel will be landing in about 4 hours.
Chapter 29. Daniel. By the time I step out of the plane, my legs are stiff. My entire body is protesting. A trip to Australia is always exhausting. Reversing the trip within 48 hours is insane. I was afraid I'd fall asleep during the cab ride to my parents' house, but I needn't have worried. The cabbie's murderous driving skills have me on high alert. When he slows to a stop, I tip him anyway, out of sheer joy that I survived the ride. I walk the long path from the gate to the house, my spirit lifting with every step. I called Mom as soon as I had any semblance of a plan. I could have called any of my siblings, but when the going gets rough, no one's better at being on top of things and calming the waters than Mom. I also knew Caroline needed Mom's soothing presence after the entire incident. I can't wait to see the look of surprise on her face when she sees me. As I approach the front door, I see my father and Martin on the far end of the property. From here, I can't assess Martin's appearance, but I assume the man is recovering well if he can traipse the distance. I follow the sound of Caroline's and Mom's voices to the kitchen. Caroline is laughing, and I let the sound wash over me, melt away some of my worries. As soon as I step in the kitchen, I feel like I'm literally going to melt. There are about 1,000,000 degrees inside, but I forgot all about it at the fantastic sight in front of me. Mom and Caroline are huddled around 3 large pots at the stove, tasting the contents. Caroline looks relaxed. She's also sexy as hell, wearing some shorts I've never seen on her and a washed-out tank top. Her hair is up on top of her head, messy strands hanging out. Catching sight of me, she lets out a little shriek, then covers her mouth.
"What are you doing here already?"
she asks through her fingers. I look at my mother in defeat. "You told her?" I should have seen this coming. Keeping secrets isn't her forte. She shrugs.
"Told her you'd be here in 4 hours. Kept an element of surprise."
Oh, how helpful.
"With that said, I'm out of here," she continues. "Martin, Richard, and I are going out for dinner."
"It's early afternoon," Caroline points out. Mom winks.
"Early dinner. The house is all yours."
The second she leaves the kitchen, Caroline goes into a frenzy.
"I need a shower and change clothes. I was going to before you came. I'm wearing summer's old clothes and I'm sweaty. Stinky too, I think."
She sniffs the air a bit, then drops her face into her hands.
"I can't believe I sniffed myself in front of you."
Adorable as it is to see her this flustered, I have to put a stop to this before she works herself into even more of a frenzy. I roll my suitcase against a wall, then head to her. "Stop driving yourself crazy." If I thought my words would calm her, I was dead wrong. She's shaking like a leaf, and a strand of her hair is clinging to her cheek. After several attempts to push it away, I realize there is marmalade in it. I clean her up with tap water and can't help myself. I kiss her. I wanted to say 1,000,000 things first, but I need this more. I need it desperately. I tease my tongue over her lower lip until she parts her mouth, granting me access. She tastes like apricots and sugar, and I wrap my arms around her, pull her flush against me, greedy for her warm body, her soft skin. Even lost in her as I am, I can still feel her shuddering, and not in a good way. "Why are you so nervous?" I ask, pulling back. I'm nervous too, but she seems downright scared. She takes a deep breath and stares at a point on my chin, clearly avoiding my eyes.
"You didn't fly over from Australia to break up with me, right? For my own good or something?"
Ah, I understand her worry perfectly now, given our past. "No, absolutely not."
"Okay."
Tension bleeds away from her limbs. She nods, smiles up at me.
"Okay. But if you had flown in for that, I wasn't going to let you do it. Not without putting up a fight first."
"Will you look at that, my little tigress?"
"I'm sorry about how I handled things on the phone. I was scared and the stupid came out.
You had all the reasons to be scared. Don't apologize. I take her hands in mine, steeling myself. Here goes nothing. I can't promise something like this won't happen again. I'm going to do my best, but I can't guarantee it. I'll make whatever changes are necessary in my business to minimize the risk, cut out all the celebrity outings, but I can't guarantee it won't happen again. Can you live with that? Can you love me despite that?
Caroline. The strain in his voice cuts through me. I don't need you to promise me anything, Dan, and you will not change your business for me. I'll learn to deal with it. You can teach me, coach me, as you put it. I can learn. I want to. Anything you need, I'll be there, and I love you no matter what. He presses his forehead to mine. God, it feels good to hear that. I love you, too, so much. It's always been you. Always will be you. No, no, no. Calm down, silly heart. I need my wits about me, and my ears free of the relentless thumping that makes discerning his words rather difficult. He seems to have more to say, and I don't want to miss one word. I want us to build a life together. I want a family with you. Tell me you want the same, he whispers. You know I do. I need to hear it. I want a family with you. I want to spend the rest of my life making you happy. I'm all in, Dan. I'm all in. He lets out a sharp exhale, releases my hands, and cups my face instead. Then he kisses me, and it's like I'm breathing again for the first time since I dropped him off at the airport. I've been too stressed out to fully enjoy the first kiss, but I'm determined to enjoy every single second of this one. I slide my arms under his, encircling his torso, pulling him to me. He brings our bodies flush against one another, sinking against me as if he needs to feel every inch of my body against him, as if he needs me as much as I need him. I give myself to him the way I always do, wholeheartedly. Only this time, I try to put every feeling and emotion into the kiss. When we pull apart, I notice I'm trapped between the counter behind me and Daniel in front. Talk about being between a rock and a hard place. Such a sweet hardship. I'll take it any day of the week. Dan kisses my forehead, my temple, then the tip of my nose. I'm shaking lightly. Maybe from the relief of being back in his arms and knowing he wants me in his life forever, just as I want him. Maybe it's because every cell in my body is clamoring for skin-on-skin contact, for him to be inside me. I want us to be united in every way. As if reading my mind, he takes me in his arms, carries me up the stairs. I'm staying in your old room, I inform him, a thrill of anticipation running through me. He carries me straight to the ensuite bathroom. While we're ridding each other of clothes, I search his face. I'll never tire of looking at him, of trying to read him and anticipate what he needs to be happy. We step in the shower together, and as the warm water sprays down on us, Daniel pours shower gel on his palms, then lowers himself, running his soapy hand along my leg, up one thigh. He brushes his thumb over my clit, luring a moan out of me, right before he moves his hands on my other leg, starting to soap it from my ankle, making his way up slowly. I'm shuddering with anticipation, my center burning. When his hands reach the apex of my thighs again, I need his fingers inside me so badly, I nearly beg for it. Looking straight up at me, he slides his hand over the outside of my thighs to my ass, cupping it. One swipe of his tongue against my clit is all it takes for me to cry out for him, fisting his hair. He licks me again and again until I'm unsteady on my legs. Then he kisses up to my navel, moves to my breasts, sucking one nipple into his mouth. Dan, oh, I feel him lift my legs, propping me back against the tiled wall. Instinctively, I wrap my legs around him and he lowers me onto him, filling me inch by inch. He groans my name as I clench around him and kiss his neck. His hands are holding my ass cheeks, his fingers digging into my skin. He fits me so perfectly. We simply stay like this, not moving or attempting to, simply being with each other. This moment is so intimate, I'm trembling from the intensity of it. He presses his thumb at the corners of my mouth, then kisses me again. When I part my lips and his tongue slips into my mouth, I feel more tenderness and heat than ever before. I pulse around him, push my hips forward, seeking friction. He kisses down the side of my neck, then back up, before finally unhitching his lips from my skin and looking me in the eyes. "I still can't believe I'm lucky enough to have your love," I whisper.
"Then I'll do my best to prove it, every day."
Chapter 30. Caroline. I am so proud of myself. So proud. I smile as we step out of the hotel lobby and into the pleasantly cool Vegas morning. Daniel cocks a brow.
"You're worse than summer."
"What are you talking about? I only fangirled about 5 times. Batting my eyelashes, I flash him a grin. What was he expecting? He just introduced me to one of my favorite TV stars, Nina. When Daniel told me he was organizing her birthday party in Vegas and asked me if I wanted to join him, it took me all of 5 seconds to say yes. He patiently coached me how to deal with paparazzi in case any show up. He also gave me advice about how to act when I meet Nina. I'm still working on implementing it.
"What do you want to do?"
he asks.
"We have the whole day to ourselves."
"Well, since you're the Vegas expert and I've never been, I want a private tour."
"Your wish is my command.
Mid-December isn't the best month to be in Vegas, but at least we won't cook. Our last stop will be the Bellagio Fountains. There's a water show every 30 minutes.
We're staying at a hotel on the Strip, so we're right in the middle of the hustle and bustle. I visited quite a few cities, and they each have their own pulse, something that sets it aside from any other place, something beyond architecture or language or history. Vegas is colorful and vibrant, holding a sense of wonder and danger, and I can't wait to explore it with Daniel. Some 5 hours later, I feel like my feet are about to fall off. We visited all the major casinos. My favorite is hands down the Venetian, with its picturesque bridges and the high roller, the giant Ferris wheel. As we watch the water show at the Bellagio Fountains, I understand why Daniel kept it until the end. It's truly breathtaking. The best way to end the tour. "You're truly a Vegas pro," I compliment him once the show is over and the tourists scatter. "Is there anything you haven't done in Vegas?" "Actually, don't answer. Some things I don't need to know." Daniel chuckles, tucking me into him, kissing my cheek.
"I have no secrets."
I unzip his jacket, snaking my arms inside it, holding on to him. He's grown suddenly quiet, a contemplative expression on his face.
"There is one thing I haven't done here," he says.
Is it my imagination, or does he sound a tad uneven?
"What?"
He takes my hands out of his jacket, leading me through the streets once again. I have no idea where we're heading, but I trust him. We enter one of the lower, inconspicuous buildings on a side street. I don't realize what we've walked into at first. There are many couples around us, some not entirely sober. I only put two and two together when I spot the couple at the far end of the room and the wedding officiant behind them. Oh my God. My mouth goes dry. We're in a chapel. Daniel's eyes are trained on me, waiting.
"That's one thing I haven't done. Anything you want to change about that?"
he asks, voice rough, full of emotion. "You planned this."
"No. If I had, there would be no one else here and I'd be wearing a suit. I'm not a cufflink man, but for such an occasion..."
"I'm not dressed for the occasion either, obviously. I'm wearing jeans, a pink sweater under my jacket, and pink ballerina shoes with oversized bows." "Oh, Dan, yes, let's do this. But wait, our families won't be too happy. But I also don't want to wait." This might be a little surprising, a lot reckless, but, oh my goodness, it feels so right, so perfect.
It's up to you. We can wait and do everything in San Francisco, or we can do it now. Or we can have both. We can get married here, throw a party at home.
Sounds great. I'm so excited, I can barely get the words out.
Which part?
The last one. Wedding now, party home. Dan doesn't answer. He simply pulls me in and kisses me hard. The sound of hands clapping fills the room. I blink open one eye and see that everyone is watching us. I love you so much, I whisper. He smiles, keeping me close, and I lose myself in him. In this moment, I watch the couples in front get married as if through a haze. My senses seem to be completely consumed by Daniel. Our hands are clasped together as we wait. When our turn comes, Daniel talks to the officiant in a low, hushed voice before the ceremony begins. As we stay next to each other and the minister presents us with rings, simple gold bands, I can't help but wonder why everyone doesn't do this. Sometimes I think weddings are more for the benefit of the guests than the bride and groom, who often stress themselves out to please the guests at their own expense. This is perfect for us. When the ceremony starts, I feel my entire body tense, excitement and adrenaline coursing through me. No nerves or hesitation grips me. This feels more right than anything ever has. I can't believe this moment is here, that Daniel is standing next to me, about to become my husband. I'll make him the happiest man on earth. That's a vow I'm making to myself, and I intend to remind myself of it every day.
Have you prepared any vows?
The officiant asks.
No, but I want to say a few words anyway,
Daniel says, turning to face me.
Caroline, we met when we were just becoming adults. You were my friend, then my lover. Then I let you go. I promise I'll never let you go again. You're my everything, and you'll be my everything for the rest of our days.
I smile, tears prickling at the corners of my eyes. We needed these years apart to become the people we are now, to grow and learn how to be there for each other in all ways. I love you, Dan. No matter what life will throw at us, I'll be there for you. I'll love you through all of it until my last breath. And whatever comes after that, I'll love you then, too. Chapter 31. Caroline. I twirl once, watching the fabric float around me. The light pink chiffon swirls in waves. I love it. The bodice is tight around my torso, V-shaped, with broad straps across my shoulders. The skirt reaches down to the floor and is so voluminous, I'm afraid I'll get lost in it. Yet for all the frou-frou and seven layers of veil and whatnot, it's remarkably easy to move around in it. When Dan and I touched down from Las Vegas, our wedding bands caused quite a stir, which is why we decided to have a second ceremony, too, not just a party. So here we are, 1 week after Christmas, having a winter wedding. I have to admit, I can't wait for the ceremony. There is something about making promises in front of everyone I love that beckons to me. It's the part I look forward to the most, and giving Dad the opportunity to walk me to the altar. I admire my engagement ring again. The double infinity knots are all elegant curves and shiny diamonds. When Daniel gave it to me, I asked why infinity knots, and he answered, "Because we are forever." I only received the ring yesterday. Daniel asked Pippa for a custom-made engagement ring, and Pippa confided in me that Daniel turned out to be her most demanding customer. They spent the 2 weeks since we returned from Vegas working on it. On the bright side, spending weeks overworking my creative juices gave me an idea for a new line of engagement rings. Unusual designs. More than the princess, prong, and usual cuts and settings. The sound of the door opening snaps me out of my daydreaming. Dad walks in, teary-eyed, and I can feel the emotions coming off him in waves. Oh no. At this rate, I'm going to turn misty-eyed in no time. Dad, I must say, you look dashing in a tuxedo. This is the first time I've seen him wearing one.
Your mother would never have let me go to my daughter's wedding without one.
He opens his arms, and I walk right into them. I never missed Mom more than today, and this has to be just as hard for Dad. When we pull apart, he takes something out of his pocket.
This belonged to your mother. I kept it with me, but it's a shame not to be worn.
He opens his fist to reveal Mom's old silver butterfly pendant.
I don't know if it goes with your dress. It's not so fancy.
Of course I'll wear it. It's perfect. My voice wavers, loaded with emotion. I turn so he can clasp it around my neck, and we both sniffle lightly. Thank you, Dad. I feel a bit as if Mom is with us too, right this very moment. We head out of the bedroom, down to the living room. I chose to get dressed here in my childhood home. Niall should arrive any minute now to drive us to the church.
Fathers usually say no one is good enough for their daughters, but I don't feel that way. Daniel is a great man, and he loves you.
Thank you, Dad.
When I saw your mother, I knew.
Really? I've never heard their story. Too personal, I suppose, and I haven't asked.
Yes. Took some time convincing her, though. She was always the practical one. Wanted to be sure we weren't being hasty.
Sounds like her, yeah. I laugh, touching the pendant. Just then, a honk from outside tells us Niall is here. The church is full to capacity with our family and friends, and I do my best not to let any nerves show as I slowly walk to the altar, my father's arms steadying me. When we come to a stop in front of my man, Daniel looks Dad straight in the eyes and says,
I promise to take care of your daughter, love her and respect her. Oh, I know you will.
After the ceremony, we head on foot to the restaurant, which is just across from the church. It's a lovely venue, large enough for the 300 guests attending. Only about 50 were at the church. The rest will come directly to the restaurant. Daniel and I are leading the group of 50 crossing the street. It rained this morning, so I have to keep my dress up to keep the hem from getting dirty. My satin shoes will probably be a mess, but no one will see them under the dress. The restaurant is surrounded by a beautiful garden, and vines loop around the black iron entrance gate. Past that, a path of cobblestones leads to the front door of the restaurant. It was easy enough to walk on the uneven cobbles wearing flats, but in heels, it's hell. I don't even voice that thought before Daniel hooks an arm around my waist, steadying my every step. He only lets go inside the restaurant, where servers are waiting with trays of champagne. As the guests help themselves to a glass, I notice Summer is firing off instructions to the wedding planner. I barely suppress a grin. Between the wedding planner and Summer, Daniel and I didn't have to do much in terms of organizing. We take two glasses for ourselves, then welcome every guest. We finish the greeting round by clinking glasses with Pippa and Summer.
No more weddings to organize now, Summer says wistfully.
What are you talking about? Pippa asks. We have more single cousins than I can count. Look at all those Connors.
And there's you, of course.
Of course.
I'm sure the right one's out there somewhere. He just needs a map to find me. Or a compass.
Better yet, a GPS.
Mine's definitely not working. It keeps sending me into dead ends.
Boy, do I love Summer's optimism and energy.
By the way, you have 5 minutes until your dance begins, she informs Daniel and me.
Right. For all her sweetness, she does bossy well.
Yes, boss, I say, trying to swallow my anxiety at the thought of dancing in front of everyone.
Dan and I decided we're just going to dance to one of our favorite slow songs, without any fancy choreography. By the time Daniel pulls me onto the dance floor, I've worked myself into a frenzy. But as soon as the song starts and he wraps an arm around my waist, taking my hand in his, some of that tension bleeds away. Dear God, how he holds me, how he looks at me as if I'm the most precious thing in the world.
I love you, Dan, I whisper. He smiles, kissing the corner of my lips.
I love you, too.
I melt against him, feeling safe and loved in his arms. Once the song is over, others join us on the dance floor. The very best thing about the wedding dress, it's so long and voluminous, no one can see my feet. As long as I manage not to step on my own toes, I'm golden. Between the food and the dancing, the night is a hit. The most memorable parts are the speeches. They start out humorous and relatively safe while our dads hold the mic, but the whole affair quickly spirals into wild and inappropriate when Blake's turn comes. By the time the party is over, part of me wishes we could go on, even though I also desperately want our wedding night to begin. After the last of the guests leave and the family is carrying our presents to the car, Jenna hugs us both goodbye. Any words of wisdom? I ask as I pull away from her arms. She looks from Dan to me, beaming. Laugh often. Don't go to bed mad. Learn to let go. Things are never as bad as they look like. Don't say hurtful things. You don't mean them, and you can't take them back. Don't forget to say I love you, even after many years pass. Always look for the best in each other. Always love each other. And when there's a lot of love, you can work everything else out. Together.
Epilogue. Daniel. 2 months later. Caroline, I set my keys in the yellow fish-shaped bowl in the foyer, my hand shaking slightly around the envelope. I was supposed to be home in 2 hours, but once I got the news, I couldn't resist. She isn't in the living room. Upstairs, then. I jog up the flight of stairs and smile. She added even more books to the bookcase on the upper floor of our house. Martin's store is doing just fine since he and Caroline are arranging readings and games with nearby schools almost every second day. She also seems to be returning with new books almost weekly. We moved into the new house 3 weeks ago. 4 bedrooms is too much space for the two of us. But soon, it won't be just the two of us. She's singing in the bathroom. Through the cracked door, I see her lying in the tub, bubbly water up to her chest. Her hair is piled up in a bun, and pedicured toes peek out from the edge of the tub. The smell of vanilla assaults my senses. Any day now, I'll man up and jump in with her, even if she's using one of those sickly sweet bath bombs. Approaching the edge of the tub, I notice the headphones and the phone lying on the floor next to the tub. As gently as I can, I pull out an earbud. She startles anyway, splashing water and foam everywhere. So sorry, she mumbles, clearing the foam that landed on my shirt. She stops moving when I hold up the envelope. Is this what I think it is? I nod, emotion clogging my throat. Arrived at my office half an hour ago. I couldn't wait. Can you take the papers out so I can see them? My hands are wet. I waste no time pulling the papers out. There it is, black on white. We are now officially the parents of 7-year-old Hugo and his sister, 3-year-old Elizabeth. We had to wait until after the business with Justin Hamill was sorted, because having an open case with the courts wouldn't have worked in our favor with the adoption agency. We decided to settle out of court, and he won't be bothering anyone I love ever again. Caroline and I filed our adoption petition the next day. When our social worker told us that older children who are already in the system have less chance of being adopted because couples always want babies, Caroline and I decided on the spot to opt for such cases. 1 month later, she told us about Hugo and Elizabeth, and we said yes and filed all the papers. Caroline stands on her knees on the floor of the tub, reading the words again and again. We can pick them up in 2 weeks. Our kids? They're ours, Dan. Yeah, they are. I set the papers aside on a dry spot, then cup her face, kissing her cheek, her temple. She's trembling slightly in my arms, emotion pouring off her. And we're going to love them so much. So much. She rises to her feet, reaching out for a towel. I get it for her, drying her off, then lift her in my arms, carrying her to our bedroom, kissing her the entire way.
When I lay her on our bed, she looks up at me with so much tenderness and adoration, she brings me to my knees. "Promise me you'll always kiss me like this," I say. "That you'll always look at me like this, as if I'm everything to you."
"I promise. I don't know how to love you any other way, Dan."
"Good, because I will love you more every day." This concludes Your One True Love by Layla Hagen, narrated by Maxine Mitchell and Joe Arden. Copyright 2017 by Layla Hagen. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Layla Hagen, care of the Bent Agency, and was produced in the year 2018 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright there too. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.